Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for a noon kick.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Tap by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:01 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Football Friday.
What's happening, everybody? How we doing?
Well, I'm kind of envious of your situation, but I'm still happy it's Friday for myself.
At least you get 2 days off after this. But yeah, this is it for me until after Christmas.
Yeah, you're done.
I got 2 hours and 58 minutes to get through, and then I am on vacation.
When do you come back? The 27th?
I come back whatever a week from today is. We get back late Friday night.
No,
oh, no,
I meant
to the show.
The air.
Yeah, on the air,
yeah.
The 27th.
I don't care about
yeah.
your travel plans.
You don't care about my trip, man?
No.
Come on.
No, you're getting the hell out of here.
I got to leave at like 2 a.m. tomorrow. It sucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's one of those kind of flights. So I tried to, I never know how to handle those situations because if you just fly into it blind, like on full sleep the night before, you're going to be all screwed up. So I tried to stay up really late last night to be tired today.
So you go to bed by like 7:30 or 8. Yeah.
So I hit a wall at like 8 o'clock and can try and get a decent amount of sleep because I'm not the best at sleeping on planes.
I can't sleep on planes worth a damn.
Right. I mean, the neck pillow, it helps a little bit, but then it's kind of uncomfortable the way you sit. And somebody, yeah, is leaning back in front of you. It's a whole thing on airplanes.
Right.
Stewardess wakes you up. But you know, not a fan. So I stayed up till like 2:30 last night, super late, got up. So I'm trying to like be super tired today and we'll see if my plan pays off.
I was a little jealous when people, like at a time like this where there's so many people that have their vacation, I think a large percentage just stays home. They have a staycation. Like our producer, Jason Swigard.
Yeah, he's off this week.
He's back next week. He was texting me yesterday about how boring his vacation is. Oh, it's the most boring vacation ever. And I thought, okay. So I texted him back and I said, you know, you control how boring or not boring your vacation is, right?
Yeah, you can take day trips. If you don't want to travel anywhere, if you don't have the expenses of traveling, I mean, you could do day trips to the beach. The
right.
weather's actually been okay. You could have gone golfing one of the days this week.
Well,
I'm sure there's courses out there that are in decent shape.
Well, and we know enough people here in this building around with some of the golf courses to shoot a text to somebody and say,
yeah.
Hey, I just want to come out and hit around by myself.
There's probably nobody out there. Go walk 18 holes.
And he responded after I said that to him and goes, well, the budget controls that. And I thought, you could drive to Pacific City and see our fine friends out at Pelican one of your days. You could go have a lunch for $15. You could get 4 to 5 beers for about $25.
Yep.
And then you could just do what I love to do. Get a nice buzz on, hang out on the beach.
Yeah.
You don't have kids, so you can just literally take naps. You can walk the beach. You can walk the dune.
Right.
You could go do something like that and then drive back the same day. And then he starts going into the, well, lady swag, that's an extra $100. Driving's not cheap. And I'm just like, bro,
no,
if you can't afford to go to the beach for a day, you've got bigger financial concerns.
Right. See, now, and this is all on his fault. This is his problem.
This is what I said.
You can't take a week off, not plan anything, and then complain about boredom. That's
right.
On you. There's plenty of stuff to do, whether it's in the local area, driving somewhere for a day. There's plenty of trips that you can take locally that are pretty cost effective. And you also, I think, need to embrace the staycation. Like, I'm a big fan of the staycation. I don't think there's anything that charges the batteries more than a staycation. Like, yeah, you can go stir crazy a little bit if you're just cooped up, but find a couple of books you want to get through, binge watch a couple of TV shows, get some stuff done around the house. Like, there's ways to be productive and have a nice battery recharging staycation. Because when you actually travel somewhere, it can be a little stressful. Like if you take a week off and you have to fly, like I have to fly to Charlotte, North Carolina. That's all the way across. I'm like two of my days or just travel days.
Are you connecting? Is it direct?
Both of them connect flights. Yeah. So I got to fly through Dallas tomorrow. I get in at like 6 o'clock tomorrow night, Charlotte time. And then on the way back, we fly through Phoenix, get back late a week from this Friday. So it's like, it's a whole day of travel just to get there. And if you're staycationing, you don't have to, there's no airport pickup.
No packing.
There's no packing that goes into it. Like you're just vegging out and you need to embrace that, I think.
So wait, you're leaving at like 2 a.m. our time and you're not landing in Charlotte till 6?
That might have been a little aggressive, but you also have the time difference. So it's Charlotte. So I know
it still blows my mind when people say things.
It's not
like
quite 6, but it's later on in the day.
My brother-in-law had this recently. He left Portland at like 4:30 in the morning and he went to Atlanta and he didn't land in Atlanta till 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I said, that's weird because you're going to take off in the dark and you're not going to land in your destination city till it's dark.
Right.
You lose an entire day just traveling. That's the worst.
It sucks, right? Yeah. Somebody said Hood River, 45 minutes away. Boom, go do some wine tasting in Hood River.
Great breweries in Hood River.
Go do a brewery stop in Hood River. Go walk around. How about you take a magical ride on the Christmas train?
Ooh.
Huh? Let's go choo-choo to Christmas Town.
Oh, man.
There's a whistle in the distance.
Man, a trembling in the air.
Right?
Did you guys hear them make fun of that on primetime?
No, I didn't.
Oh, dude, they did a whole segment on it. It was like a week ago. It was epic.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, we all are dealing with something in our lives, and maybe he has some unforeseen or talked about expense of some sort. So if he does, I give him the benefit then. But when you're choosing to stay home, you're choosing to be here for an entire week, you can't really complain if you have nothing to do when you have things that you can go do.
Yeah, there's plenty to do.
I'll even take it a step further. He could email the Blazers today and say, hey, I'm going to cover the Blazer game for the fan. Go to the game, not do a damn thing work-wise because we're not going to play that audio on Monday.
No, yeah, you get a free ticket to the game.
And you basically get to get in the game for free.
Right.
He could do that.
You can go early for shoot around, watch Kawhi Leonard.
Or just go and maybe go to Dr. Jack's, get a couple drinks, and then walk into the building, not tell anybody in the media section that you're kind of hammered. Sit there, watch the game, walk out, meet up a buddy. I don't know, but there's too many things to be doing to tell me you're bored and everything's too expensive.
Somebody said I have a 3-week staycation starting today. I'm jealous of that.
Three weeks, that's a good amount of time.
That's a good one. Somebody said there's Bullwinkles in Wilsonville. Dude, going down to Bullwinkles.
I used to work at Bullwinkles.
Right, they got adult entertainment down there. Spent a day.
Adult entertainment at Bullwinkles?
Didn't they? Don't they have like a new thing that's like
What do you mean by adult entertainment?
No. Okay.
They have a nudie bar?
That would be actually kind of cool.
Is there a naked moose somewhere?
Dad's going to go enjoy himself.
We're going to go play laser tag.
No, haven't they like made it more adult friendly? Didn't they like put a bar or something? I don't know.
They're planning to expand and make it more adult friendly.
So I didn't know if that had happened yet or not.
What's the Russian spies' names in Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Oh,
I forget.
Oh, George Costanza in the later movie. Wasn't he one of them?
No. The names of the characters.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying wasn't he one of the actors though?
Maybe. I didn't watch those movies. I only watched the cartoons.
You never saw the newer one that they did?
No, what the hell would I do that for?
George Costanza was in it.
You can't ruin a classic like that cartoon. That was a great cartoon when I was a kid.
Villains. Bullwinkle villains. Boris.
Boris and Natasha. I was going to say, could you go and watch Natasha perform on stage? Like, is that what kind of entertainment you're talking about?
Like a striptease with Natasha?
Well, that's another one. Not to give too many things away here, but he knows certain people. He could probably get a nice little hookup at Bullwinkle.
Right, and then somebody did say, is he just sitting at home in his pajamas listening to us? I think that's what he's doing.
I know for a fact that's what he's doing because he told me last Friday, he goes, hey, since we didn't do Pac-12 Pick'ems, you guys could call me at 2 o'clock next Friday and get me on if you want to give you my Pac-12 Pick'ems.
Oh, he wants us to call him?
And like, I love the guy.
Like, no, dude, you're on vacation.
What are you doing? You're on vacation. Stop caring about work.
Let me see, you can go hit the slopes, go skiing. They got a ton of snow up at the mountain now.
Yeah, I got a buddy who's up there today.
Right, it's been dumping snow up there the last week and a half.
But if he thinks driving to the beach is too pricey, isn't a pass like $45 for a day?
Fine, go up to
a half day pass. Noon and get a half day pass. Those are like $40 or something.
Dude,
I don't ski, so I don't know what the prices of that are. But I
go shred some gnar on the slopes, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're smart. You're taking a vacation. You're not going to complain about not being able to do anything.
I actually kind of wish I was doing a staycation, to be honest with you. Like, it's what, like, I love going, I don't get to see the niece and nephew very often, so it's fun to go see the family and spend some time. But
you get to play uncle.
I do get to play uncle, and then I get to leave, so there's, like, not much responsibility. It's a perfect solution
for
me.
That's the best thing to play is uncle or really grandparent. Is,
right, you just show up, you give them some toys, they love you, you play around for a couple of days, and then you get out of there, and you're back to having no responsibilities.
By the way, guess who just texted me?
Is he texting us?
He texted us.
Stop listening to the show, Swagger.
I was texting with him like 20 minutes ago,
Do something, man.
He said, I'm Christmas shopping right now, listening to you two yutz. I'll ride the Christmas train, only if I can punch the guys who made that commercial.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, I'm going somewhere next week, but I kind of wish it was a staycation. So I'm jealous of you, Swagger. Embrace the staycation, man. Find a show, binge watch it, read a couple of books.
You know what I would be doing? If I was in a position of complete and inept financial freedom, like he seems to be, I would almost think about how much time I'd go spend at Costco in a day.
Just go walk around Costco.
Walk around the aisles. Go have samples 3 or 4 different times.
Yeah.
Get a Costco dog and sit down and just be alone and be like, this is amazing.
Just people watch. Just be alone. Now we know what Sprague's dreams are. You ever take like a random Tuesday off? I'm going to send listeners to the local Costco to try and find you walking around the halls.
I'll be on the 82nd Costco. That's where you'll be able to find me. That's my Costco.
Yeah, it's my Costco too, right by the sweet tomatoes.
Yeah. All the time.
Look at that, man. I like that Costco.
Yeah. All right, we got a good show today. We're going to Sprague the line so you can text in the Sprague the line sponsors at 55305. We got our Pac-12 pick'ems, the daily ticker. But starting the show off, coming up next, we're going to dive into Thursday night football. Do we feel like we know who the best teams in the AFC are based on what we saw last night? And wasn't everybody rooting for Phillip Rivers? I don't know why. I love me some Phillip Rivers. We'll talk about the Chargers-Chiefs game next on The Fan.
It's Friday, 'cause I've been working all week.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:17. Welcome back in on The Fan. We got the Daily Ticker coming up here in 13 minutes. Very quickly, before we dive into the Chiefs-Chargers game, I need to know from listeners. I had somebody come up to us, come up to me before Dirt got in and asked if in February we'd rather have Thomas Ian Nicholas again. And if you don't know that name, he's basically the rookie of the year.
It's Henry Rowan Gardner.
Henry Rowan Gardner.
Rowan Gardner.
Is that on the drop page?
I would hope so. He gave us a live Henry Rowan Gardner drop.
Oh, there it is. Hold on.
No.
I think Swag might have accidentally deleted that.
Oh, come on.
Anyways, so we could either have him or Cato Kalin. Both would be in studio.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Why?
They're going to be in town for some Comic-Con.
What is he doing at Comic-Con?
Well, he is an actor, so maybe he was in something that I don't remember.
Can we just talk about OJ the entire time? Is he going to want us to actually talk about his work?
So I asked her that question, and the answer that she gave me was they didn't put any stipulations on what you can or cannot talk about in the original email.
Ooh, tickle me intrigued on that one, but I think I'd probably still vote Henry Rowan Gardner.
Yeah, my thing on the Cato Kalin thing is it's great to say, and I think everybody has the interest in the OJ thing, but haven't we heard his side of the OJ story so many times now? Is there going to be anything new?
Right. I'd rather just kind of chop it up with Henry Rowan Gardner a little bit. He was a cool dude. He invited you to an escape room.
He did. I'm looking forward to the next invitation, and I'm going to go the next time.
Yeah, he was. They were all doing a big escape room that night, and he was like, bro, you guys got to come. Do the escape room with us. He was one of the nicer guys we've ever met in this business.
See, we already got a F yes, Cato.
Oh, they want Cato Kalin.
I think people would rather have Cato, yeah.
Okay.
Just because of the name, the tie-in. You know,
well, as long as he's okay with us not talking about his work, because nobody cares what that guy does. Can anybody name anything he's been in?
Oh, I can, because really? I found this out. Did you know he's been hosting the last couple years? He's been hosting the New Year's Eve parties in Vancouver.
Vancouver, Washington?
Washington. So evidently we had some at one of our work Christmas parties one year. I don't remember this person, but they are friends with him somehow. And the person lives in Vancouver and has convinced him the last couple years to come up, and he hosts a New Year's Eve party.
He's up there hanging out for New Year's Eve, man. I might have to go visit him this year.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and somebody said, wow, Cato Kalin's still a thing.
He's apparently, man.
Apparently. Paid to come to a Comic-Con. Yeah,
yeah, see, that's not a Comic-Con appearance, though. I want to know what has he done to show up at Comic-Con, because clearly he would have had to have been in some sort of movie or, you know. There,
I'll look
to
up his IMDb.
Right. There needs to, but I want to know if anybody actually knows that.
No.
Because that we're not going to ask him anything about his career.
Okay, the last thing Cato Kaelin was in. Oh, joke's on us. He was just in the last Sharknado.
So that's why he's there.
Weird, bizarre, and psychotic.
He's in Sharknado. That's why he's invited.
He had a role in Baskets. That show's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean,
not much.
Not a lot.
OJ's
no.
still propping that guy up, huh? 25 years later.
Hey, all his things are like one character, one episode type stuff.
He just pops in and pops out, man.
Hey, we need Cato Kaelin in this episode. I don't know why, but we just need him here. So in February, maybe it's Henry Rowan Gardner, or okay, maybe it's Cato Kaelin.
Well, I'll be cool with either of them. That'll be all right.
All right, so last night's Thursday night football game, I actually thought of you because I know you were doing the Ducks show, and I know, yes, a lot of people were happy about that. But I felt bad because you didn't get to watch this game live. You were doing the radio thing, and this was a damn good football game. The Chargers were down 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They came back. They got the touchdown, and they were either going to tie the game with an extra point, miss it, or maybe go for two. Phillip Rivers immediately after the touchdown put up two fingers. The Chiefs, I believe, called a timeout. And then Anthony Lynn said, yeah, we're going for it. And wide open. Mike Williams was wide open in the end zone. It was an easy 2-point conversion. And how about the Chargers? They went on the road last night and they beat the Chiefs. They both have the same record now, yep, with 2 games remaining. So the Chiefs need to lose one more.
Yeah, Chiefs still control their own destiny because, yes, of the division record.
And the Chargers went out and the Chiefs lose one. The Chargers will win the AFC West. What the hell do we make right now of some of these playoff pictures in the AFC?
This, to me, is why we love the National Football League. Is we can go into a game like last night. Everybody had the perceived notion that Kansas City is this unbeatable juggernaut. They were undefeated at home. They had dominated the Chargers earlier this year. It was all set up for a Kansas City win. They're going to lock up the AFC West and get a big win over the Chargers. Nope. This is why we love the NFL, is the unknowns that come not only during the regular season, but also during the postseason. And it felt like 3 weeks ago, there were these perceived unbeatable teams in Kansas City and New Orleans and L.A. in both the AFC and NFC. And what have we seen in the last month? We've seen them all lose games. The Rams get dominated by the Bears, couldn't move the ball. Saints went to Dallas, got beat up pretty bad, couldn't score much against that dominant defense. And then last night, the Chargers went into Kansas City and found a way to win that game when they were down by 2 scores in the fourth quarter. This was a monumental win for the Chargers. I think, as a listener pointed out at the Better You Today text line, there is a bittersweet feeling with the success that they have, because I do feel for the folks of San Diego. This would be a really cool story to have them still being there playing in front of their fans, but instead they're playing in an MLS stadium that nobody cares about them, and all their games are road games. But I think for Kansas City, this was a game in which a couple of your problems reared its ugly head. Like, the running back situation there is something they're going to have to get figured out. I mean, you lost one of the best backs in the league, rightfully so, in Kareem Hunt, and wears down now with the injury. I mean, Damian Williams was their back last night. He had 10 carries for 49 yards. And when you needed a drive late in the game to eat up some clock when you're kind of backed up towards your own end zone, they went 3 and out, and there was a sack. The Chargers defense made the plays when they needed to. And then, as you mentioned, the defense let him down, not only on the late touchdown, the PI call. I get people were upset about that setting
it
up.
That wasn't a great call.
Not a great call, but there were makeup calls and bad calls in both directions.
There really were.
How you have a breakdown like that on a 2-point conversion, where you leave a guy wide open and you're supposed to switch the coverage and both guys go with the same and you leave the Chargers' best wide receiver wide open.
That was stupid.
Your secondary can't make a mistake like that in that moment.
Well, you know, I was thinking too, because I know the officiating was a big part of everybody's conversations last night and how they viewed the game. You know, Kansas City had missed opportunities as well. And I know officiating can be frustrating. People feel like, oh, this team got an advantage in it. I thought there were bad calls both ways.
Absolutely.
But that kickoff, Kansas City brought it to the 50. They didn't capitalize.
Right.
Gave the ball back to the Chargers. So I look at missed opportunities in games sometimes, and officiating can be bad, but you still had chances and you didn't do it. And then you had a 2-score lead, and defensively
at home,
you crumbled.
Right.
And that's my thing, is I'm going to be real interested to see the playoff matchups, because as much as I love me some Patrick Mahomes, their defense is so god awful that I won't be shocked if they lose their first playoff game. I really think it's that bad. I mean, to leave, as you mentioned, the best receiver, or if not, he's 1A, 1B sure. with Keenan Allen.
Sure.
But to leave him uncovered, that makes no sense in my mind. And so I think because of how bad they are defensively, it's going to leave them wide open to potentially lose their first game, let alone have a deep playoff run. But I did find myself, I was going nuts rooting for Phillip Rivers. I love Phillip Rivers. I think people have underrated him his entire career. I think because Eli Manning had one really hot playoff run and the Giants' defensive line was amazing.
They get you two of these.
That Eli Manning is a better quarterback. He's not. He's not better than Phillip Rivers.
Get you two of these, buddy.
And so I find myself rooting for the Chargers a lot. And I also like Anthony Lynn because everybody thought he was a bum a year ago because they had missed field goals. And I just love their attitude this year. They might not get to an AFC title game or win a Super Bowl or anything, but their attitude is basically like, F it. Let's just freaking win this game. And I love that approach.
Yeah, that was the right decision. You don't want to give Mahomes a chance in overtime. You could lose a coin toss. Mahomes could get the ball first, drive down the length of the field and score, and you're going to lose that game. They're just that good on offense. And you don't want to give them that opportunity. Sure, you have something to lose, but Kansas City still controls their own destiny. So it's still an uphill battle for the Chargers to win that division. So I like the decision to go for two in that moment. Just lock it up. You're on the road. All the momentum's on your side. Kansas City's reeling. The crowd's quiet and beaten down a little bit, and they took advantage of it. And it was, you know, for Phillip Rivers, it's funny, all the stereotypes and conversations around him. He had a couple of really bad throws in that game.
He sure did.
I mean, the opening pick that he threw to set up the Chiefs' first touchdown, he threw the pick late in the red zone.
Should have had a third one late,
Should have had a third one late. So it's funny how when you win a game, that kind of stuff isn't highlighted or talked about. If they lose that game, say 28-27, you could look back on it and say, man, you threw a couple of picks in that one. And the other storyline that, again, has been propped up and is going to be talked about is Andy Reid and clock management, because there was a lot of folks that were upset. There was 8 seconds left on the clock. The Chargers didn't have any timeouts. They looked a little discombobulated down by the goal line, and Andy Reid called a timeout, let them get organized. They scored the touchdown. Everybody was kind of reacting like, wait, did the Chargers just call a timeout? Like, what's going on here? And it was Andy Reid, so he didn't have a great moment there either.
So a great Thursday night football game. We'll dive back into this one and just the playoff picture in the NFL in just a little bit, but it's time for the Daily Ticker. We have two stops today, and we'll make them next. I was born
by the river. This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:33, welcome back in on The Fan. Time for the Daily Ticker, and we'll start in Toronto. The Raptors are in town tonight to take on the Trailblazers. They have the best record in the NBA, and we talk with AP reporter up in Toronto, covering the Blue Jays and the Raptors, Ian Harrison. He joins us on the Catlin Capital Hotline, and he's on Twitter at Ian Anywhere. Ian, thanks for the time in Portland, man. I guess I'll just start with, what was your thoughts on their trade going back to getting Kawhi Leonard, and how much do you think the fan base has changed their feelings on that trade?
Yeah, obviously that was a tough one for the fans to consider the goodbye to good soldier DeMar DeRozan, a guy who really stood up more for the city of Toronto than arguably any star had ever played here before. But, I think sort of people have come around, or if they didn't come around before the start of training camp, they came around on Kawhi Leonard real fast when they saw how good he still was. You know, some question obviously in acquiring a player who was coming off a significant injury and a bit of a testy relationship with his previous team, but there has been no friction of any sort, it would seem, between Kawhi Leonard and Raptors management, and the injury woes seem largely to be in his past. And bringing Danny Green over here, another past champion and then a really solid, strong contributor, and then just sort of a revitalization of Serge Ibaka on the front line for this Raptors team has really kind of, you know, vaulted them even past the level they were last year as a 59-win team. They're ahead of that pace. And everyone here is looking at conference finals or better, and the hopes, of course, that Leonard will stick around for longer.
Are you getting that sense, too, like from inside the locker room? Because I thought that was the interesting part about the trade, of this was an organization that kept knocking on the door and couldn't break it down. And obviously, LeBron James had a lot to do with that, and he's no longer in the East. But just adding a player like Kawhi Leonard and how good he's looked, do you get the vibe inside that locker room that they believe that, yeah, they've kind of got that monkey off their back, and this can be the year that they go win a championship?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, that sort of two-pronged thing. You know, LeBron leads the conference, and then the Kawhi acquisition happened after that. I think that kind of that the Raptors were clearly shaken because they wanted a chance, I think, to compete as they were previously constructed to compete in the East. But certainly President Masai Ujiri, quite correctly, I arguably believe that they were just weren't good enough to be championship caliber and that more was needed. And yeah, I'm not sure in terms of belief in the locker room. I think this team has believed in itself pretty well for a while, you know, maybe with the exception of what they could do in Cleveland against James. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that they're sort of miles ahead mentally of where they were last year. But having said that, you know, I mean, if you asked me a couple of days ago whether they were going to win back-to-backs against the Clippers and Golden State, I was not a chance, not with the way Kyle Lowry was struggling. And then they went out and made those teams look ordinary. So, you know, maybe there's more belief than I give them credit for. They're certainly started off this four-game road trip in very strong fashion.
Yeah. Ian, get you out of here on this one. Do you think there's, you know, are they starting to believe more and more maybe within the organization that the way that they're playing, the success they're having, they can convince Kawhi Leonard to sign there and stay there?
That's still the, you know, hundred and whatever many million dollar question it is. And I think Toronto's going to be a little antsy about that until the season is over and until the decision gets made. You know, there's been a lot of spurning going on here over the years, whether it's Tracy McGrady or eventually in some fashion Vince Carter, Damon Stoudemire, eventually Chris Bosh, all these guys, some of them who signed, some of them who didn't, to stay and then eventually left. You know, and there's always been a bit of an inferiority thing on the other side of the border. Is it, you know, it's just that little bit different for some guys. But having said that, I mean, I think if players who appreciate and understand what's really available here see the opportunity to be a sort of cross-Canada icon, a national hero to a large audience, understand the value of playing in a large media market, not just in Toronto, but a market that covers the whole country, Canada, the opportunities that exist there beyond the basketball court to really be a, you know, that be a name. And then if this team is successful too, then yeah, you know, that just adds that sort of icing on the cake for an athlete. So, you know, it's certainly fair to say there's a very strong case to be made for Kawhi Leonard to stay here. Clearly he has some personal preferences. He may wish to go home and can't be faulted for that. So yeah, it's unfortunately for Toronto fans still a waiting game. Keep your fingernails for a few months longer and enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. Ian Harrison, the AP, covering the Raptors. Always gracious with the time, man. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, there we go. Ian Harrison of the AP up in Toronto, giving us kind of the latest on the Raptors, who are having just a sensational season. And boy, yep, right now, that trade looks like one of the best moves we've seen in the NBA. They're pacing ahead of where they were last year. And I'm one of those people. I know they have they've had their struggles. But I buy into the Kawhi Leonard is such a better player than DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, it's not. Yeah, absolutely.
I think your confidence going into the East, especially now LeBron being gone, is different.
I mean, you're talking about one of the best two-way players in the game. You're talking about a top two or three guy in the entire league when he's healthy. DeMar DeRozan is a great piece and a great player. He's not the caliber of guy that Kawhi Leonard is, and he's changed the whole perception around that organization. Some people thought it was a bad deal and laughed at it. I honestly look at them now 30 games into the season.
Yeah.
It might seem crazy with Golden State and how dominant they've been. I buy them as a legitimate title contender. In the last 3 or 4 years, they weren't even in the conversation for me, despite how good they were in the regular season.
It's always going to be tough to sway people about Golden State not winning the championship, but if you've watched or paid attention to any NBA, I think you realize that bench is not good.
He takes the pressure. Kawhi takes the pressure off of everybody in that lineup.
Right, and I think because of the lack of depth that they have in Golden State, it maybe opens things up a little more for the Toronto Raptors or other teams. All right, let's move on in the Daily Ticker now, and we get ready for a big bowl game this weekend.
Yeah, but we got a Pac-12 bowl game this weekend.
Yes, we got Arizona State taking on Fresno State, and Jordan Simone, the sideline reporter for ASU, is joining us now on the Catlin Capital Hotline. Jordan, thanks for the time, my man. Where's ASU at right now? No N'Keal Harry, but do you feel like the team is locked in and ready to go play a football game, or do you worry about him a little bit?
Well, first off, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's my first time on the show, so I'm excited. I hope I do well. No N'Keal Harry, as he said. So it's going to be a little bit different as offensively. Obviously, it's impossible almost to replace a talent like N'Keal Harry, who is most likely going to be a first-round draft pick here in a couple months. But you know what? We do have the Pac-12 leading rusher in Eno Benjamin, and a lot of, you know, the offensive line is looks like it's finally going to be fully healthy. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I'm not really worried about them. I know Fresno State is a really good team with a really good defense. So that's more, you know, what I worry about, not so much them.
How would you sum up Manny Wilkins' legacy? I mean, he's a guy who's a long-term starter in this conference, and he's had some great moments, some low moments. This year, 19 touchdowns, 4 picks, so a solid ratio. His last game as a senior, how do you sum up his legacy?
Yeah, he's a guy that I've been around for several years. When I was playing, he would always come over to our house and hang out as a true freshman, and just to see his growth has been really special for me, especially down on the sideline this year. To be able to watch every game has been really fun. You know what? He's leaving with a lot of respect from people, because he sometimes he would get a bad rap. Earlier in the year, he was a little bit inaccurate on some throws, and fans were pissed about it. Rightly so. That's how fans are. Mm-hmm. 1 minute they love you, the next minute they hate you when you're playing good. And the way that they finished out the last game against U of A, that is his legacy right there. Never give up. Always finish. He's just leaving with a lot of respect from the fans. And, you beat U of A and you live in Arizona. If you play at Arizona State, you beat U of A, you're good. They don't care what you did before. As long as you beat U of A, you'll be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. The Sun Devils getting ready for the Vegas Bowl against Fresno State. Jordan Simone is our guest, a sideline reporter for the Sun Devils. It was a real questionable move for a lot of Pac-12 fans and maybe ASU fans. Todd Graham being let go last year. They were 7-5. They bring in Herm Edwards, which shocked everybody, and they go 7-5 this year now, waiting the bowl game. How do you think fans have felt about this year with Herm and how they feel about the future of Sun Devil football?
I think they're really excited. If you look at the games that we've lost, they're really, really close games. We're one or two plays out of them. We're not getting blown out. We're not giving up, 60 points. It's the losses are not bad losses. They're all games that we could have won. We could be sitting here talking about the Rose Bowl right now. If 12 plays change throughout the year, that's how close it was. And especially up against Oregon, that's a game that they were very close to winning. And I think if they win that game, they go to the Pac-12 championship. And I think that UW was not wanting to play ASU. Like, that's the last team that they wanted to play, because we had changed so much through the year. But it's a really, really bright future. I was asked a couple weeks ago, if you're going to buy stock in any program in the Pac-12, which one would it be? And I honestly believe it's Arizona State, just because of the way that they're doing things there. It's such a professional atmosphere. It's really, really special to just see from a distance as a former player. And just to be able to note the way the players, attitudes are, they're letting the players lead the locker room, and you don't really see that in college football. And so I think that's really cool. And recruiting, man, they're killing it out on the recruiting front. And, they have a whole system for players that they want. It's almost like college scouting, the way that they're like, all right, we want DNs that are going to be, this tall and this big, and they got to be this fast. It's just, it's really, really special. And it's a testament to, the guys that are running and working in that recruiting department.
Well, we're gamblers on this show, so we got our eye on this game on Saturday. And ASU, okay, They're a 6-point dog against Fresno State. I think N'Keal Harry not playing obviously has a lot to do with that. What's your intel? What are you thinking here? 6-point underdog for Arizona State? How do you see this one playing out?
That is completely disrespectful to Arizona State. I would love that. As a better, I'd be all in on Arizona State getting 6, no problem.
Okay.
And I would sleep comfortably, because I just, Fresno is good. Their defense is solid, but they ain't played anybody in the Pac-12 that was worthy. They played UCLA, and we all know how UCLA was this year. And they haven't seen, our size, our speed. Obviously, they're good. You can't take anything away from them. Mm-hmm. The conference that they play in is good, but it ain't the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And we did lose to a San Diego State team earlier this year, so some people out there may be scratching their head. But the team that Arizona State was after week 6 or week 7 was completely different from when they played San Diego State. So I'm not going to throw any money on it, but, actually I'm going to Vegas tonight.
Hey, come on, you're at the Vegas Bowl. You got to lay a bet while you're there, right?
Just don't tell nobody.
Yeah.
Just don't tell anybody. Hey, Jordan, I think we're all rooting for you guys, because I'm a big Pac-12 guy. I don't want to see the conference get destroyed nationally. So good luck to the Sun Devils against Fresno State. Our money is on the ASU Sun Devils to get the win. And thank you so much for joining us.
All right, guys. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, there we go. Jordan Simone, the sideline reporter for Arizona State, as the Sun Devils get ready for Fresno State on Saturday, the Vegas Bowl.
He was very optimistic about his Sun Devils, which I can appreciate that sideline guys are paid to do it.
Don't blame him.
Now, he does bring up a valid point. You look at their losses this year, they were all close. I mean, every single one of them, I want to say, and I don't have, I'll pull up the schedule in front of me, but I feel like every single loss that they had, going back to the San Diego State game, they had a chance to win it early. The Oregon game, remember, they didn't get that two-point conversion call towards the end. They had a chance to win that. They only lost at Washington by a touchdown, lost to Colorado by a touchdown, lost to Stanford by a touchdown.
The Colorado one looks bad now, given what Colorado did right after that game.
But at that point, Colorado was ranked 21st in the country. Yeah. So a lot of close losses for ASU. And you look at the recruiting ranking, they have a top five class in the conference right now. It goes Oregon, Washington, Stanford, USC, and then Arizona State. So Herm's been able to relate to 18-year-old kids maybe better than some thought he would.
All right, the Daily Ticker, the Catlin Capital Hotline, traveled to Toronto and to ASU / the Vegas Bowl to get ready for this weekend's bowl kickoffs. Okay, coming up next, I want to stay on the bowl games, and then we'll go back into the NFL. Are you excited for the bowl games this year? Do you like the matchups? Are you going to watch any this weekend? Really want to know, 55305. We'll dive into that next on The Fan.
Things just ain't the same for gangsters. Times is changing. Young is aging. Becoming OGs.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
Dive back into the NFL playoff races. AFC is so unpredictable. The NFC, to me, I almost wonder if we're just overstating the Saints too much. Like, I think the Saints are a damn good football team, but are we not giving any other teams enough credit?
Especially when you saw Dallas beat them the way they did.
Right, right. You get one team like Chicago goes in there, and what if their defense plays lights out and somehow they hold them to 13 points? I don't know. I think the NFL has been really entertaining, and it's just at such an unpredictable point as we're in week 15 now. So we'll dive into that here in the second hour. The bowl games start this weekend.
They do tomorrow, bright and early.
You get Tulane and Louisiana in the Camping World Bowl.
Catch a fever, man.
Oh, no, that's the Auto Nation Cure Bowl. Sorry, yes. That's Camping World Stadium. I was reading the wrong thing.
Come on now.
So I always forget the Auto Nation Bowl. It's my bad.
It's a big one. 10:30 a.m. on the CBS Sports Network.
Tulane in Louisiana. Utah State, North Texas. I'm not into all of these irrelevant bowls. I might be kind of interested in that from a gambling perspective. As you got Seth Luttrell that's staying there now, and Utah State hasn't. Gary Anderson's not going to coach that bowl game. So you got that. And then we mentioned with Jordan Simone, Arizona State, Fresno State in the Vegas Bowl at 12:30. I'm not going to go down the list of all of them. But are you excited? Do you not care? Where are you at on bowl season versus maybe where you are most years?
It's always a combination for me. I do a bowl pool every year, so I'm intrigued with a lot of these games because there's something on the line for me. Will I spend time watching most of them? No, and I don't think anybody will. I kind of circle and pinpoint the games that I'm intrigued by, and it starts tomorrow. The Arizona State-Fresno State game, to me, is a big one for the conference because I predicted – I think I'm going to pick 5-2 in Pac-12 bowl games. I'm going more optimistic than a lot of people. This is one of the games that I have the conference losing. And I think if Arizona State can come out and steal one from Fresno State, who's a good football team, they're ranked in the top 25, this to me would be a quality win. I mean, it's a 10-2 Mountain West, or 11-2, excuse me, conference champion Fresno State against a 7-5 kind of middle of the road Pac-12 team. This would be a big one for the conference to win. So I'm intrigued by that. But the rest of them, I mean, you look at the slate tomorrow. Tulane, Louisiana, no. Utah State, North Texas, no. Georgia Southern, Eastern Michigan, no. Middle Tennessee, Appalachian State, no. I mean, there's your slate. So no thank you to the vast majority of those. At least you have that game. And this, again, highlights why I think it would be great for college football to expand the playoffs, because what you could be doing is this weekend could be your first semifinal games. Or not semifinals, I guess it'd be quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals, yeah.
You could play those games this weekend. And how much more intrigue would there be in the sport of college football where everybody would have had 2 weeks off, you play this weekend, then they get two more weeks off, and you play it right around New Year's Eve, obviously the semifinal game. So I think that would be a big boost to the sport. But no, this weekend the slate isn't good outside of the Vegas Bowl tomorrow.
Yeah, I think my only interest is in seeing the reaction if the Pac-12 has a good showing. Now, I love the playoff games. I love the New Year's Six bowl games. I'm all in on those. But as I've said probably too many times, and I know maybe some listeners out there have heard it too many times, you're going to find it real tough for me to care about 88% of these bowl games. I love sports. I do. I'm like you out there, and I know it's, well, how would you just not be on your couch watching? I'd just rather not.
Yeah, if I'm I'd sitting
rather watch
around
a movie with than watching on, Middle maybe. Tennessee and Appalachian State. I have no interest in that. None. I would rather rewatch a movie of some sort. But I want to see the Pac-12 showing. I'm with you on ASU. Jordan Simone, I think he just got me more fired up on ASU winning that game potentially.
Yeah, they're a 6-point dong. That's a pretty sizable spread.
It is. And I just, because I don't care about bowl records. Like, I'm not one that's going to overreact one way or the other. I just want to see if my theory is correct. I want to see if the Pac-12 has a 5-2 showing, as you're proclaiming.
Yeah.
I want to see if people are going to pound their chest on radio, on TV, and in blogs, or are they going to keep bitching about Larry Scott and be like, well, it'd be better if our commissioner was good. What are you going to do if the Pac-12 has a good bowl showing? Because, damn, who didn't try to take the stage last year when the Pac-12 was 1-8 and tell you too many times how embarrassing it was, right? So if they have a good showing, are they going to change their tune, or are they going to cite all the Larry Scott Pac-12 stuff and tell you that it doesn't matter because the Pac-12 sucks?
And I'm not one that ever really tries to tout it, but I will this year because it was used against us. Like, if you're going to use bowl records against us, then you bet your ass if they go 5-2, I'm going to use it for us. I don't put a lot of stock in it. But when it's used as an argument about why the conference, nationally speaking, not just with Pac-12 fans, but nationally, it has said, look how down the conference is, and we have to deal with all these articles all off season about how you're miles behind, you can't hang, look at your bowl record. Yeah, if you're going to use 1-8 against us, I'm going to use 5-2 for us. It's just unfortunate with the bowl slate that you have so many meaningless games until really December 26th. Like, the bowl season, I mean, you're going to go 11 days, with meaningless teams playing essentially in every single game. Once you get to the 26th and you got like Boston College, Boise State, Cal, TCU, the Minnesota, Georgia Tech, like, and then you start to get into some at least relevant programs. It just takes a while to get the whole season started.
Right. So bowl season kicking off, ASU representing the conference against Fresno State. Somebody says, this is going to sound bad, but you don't like bowls because you're a Beaver fan. You lost interest. Honestly, it's not. That Beaver game, when they won their bowl game 3-0.
Catch the fever, 3-0, man.
I turned that game off several times. That game sucked. Well, I don't, in a world where the NFL gives me the playoffs and the Super Bowl, the NBA gives me their playoffs, baseball has the play. In those kind of worlds, I always believe this. College football is the biggest participation trophy sport we have in America.
Yeah, you go win your bowl game.
Hey, you're 500. Go play a bowl game. I don't care about, though. I don't care about a large percentage of any of these teams being in bowl games that don't mean anything.
Right.
Give me the games that mean something, whether that's for fandom or the playoff or the New Year's Six games. Give me those ones. I'm in.
Yeah.
There's
too many of them.
I couldn't care less about the Camping World Stadium Auto Nation curable.
There's too many of them. That's just a simple fact. We need to pare this thing down. One other note, too, if you're not interested in bowl season, but you are an Oregon fan, tomorrow, the number one prospect in the country is announcing his commitment, I believe, at halftime of the New Mexico Bowl.
Thibodeau, right?
Kayvon Thibodeau, yeah.
Is it Thibodeau or Thibodeau?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if it's...
Because Tibbs in Minnesota has changed his name like three times.
I feel like it's one of those names you can go either way. Thibodeau, yeah. Thibodeau.
Okay.
Do you pronounce the H? Do you not pronounce the H?
What would you do? I think I'd go Thibodeau.
I think I'd go Thibodeau because I don't know what the hell I would do. I'm a snake.
Thibodeau.
But it is, I believe, during the New Mexico Bowl, halftime of the New Mexico Bowl tomorrow. He's
what are
announcing.
The finalists? I know Oregon's
it's
one
Oregon,
of them.
It's Oregon, Alabama, Florida, and Florida State.
He's going to go to Bama, right? Or is Oregon going to get it?
I don't know. There's predictions on both sides.
Really?
It seems like it's Alabama or Oregon.
Oh, those are the
most
top two?
Most of the predictions I've seen. That's, but
that'd be pretty badass for you guys.
Something to keep an eye on. It would be a big boost for recruiting tomorrow.
I sure would hate it, but... That'd be the first time you guys... Is he still the number one player?
I think ESPN has the number one. 24/7 has dropped him to 2. That bum.
Oh, okay.
He's number 2.
So he would be tied with Haloti Ngata, right? Because wasn't Ngata 2?
But if you count the ESPN rankings, then you would have your first number one overall player in
the
country.
Which, as a program, if you get him, that's what you use. You don't use the other one. So, all right. So you got that announcement coming. Maybe good news for Oregon, but the bowl games kick off tomorrow. All right, loaded second hour, and we'll start in the NFL. Who are the two best teams in the National Football League? If you had to put your money on it right now, who would you bet on? 55305. Get into that next hour, too. Back with more on The Fan.